WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on this damp Tuesday morning. And 508-996-0500 app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Later on in this hour, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. And also, we're going to be discussing United Neighbors of Fall River with Wendy Garf Lip. So stay tuned for that as well. And part of our South Coast Health Community Spotlight, where South Coast Health is helping us shine a spotlight on some of the great organizations across the South Coast that do fantastic work in the community. And before the news break, we got a phone call, and the caller had mentioned dining out at a restaurant and getting a charge on the bill to cover things like the lights, you know, the electricity and things like that. And I can tell you this, in my experience in working in a restaurant, so let me clarify. I've worked in two different kitchens, okay? I worked in a diner for 17 years that was privately owned by a man who had bought it in the 70s and owned it until he died. And then his wife owned it, and then she sold it before she died. So that was like the true definition of a family-run business. And then I worked in a corporate kitchen environment. So I worked in the kitchen at the Lakeville Distribution Center for Talbots. And in that case, you know, we didn't have to pay for the facility. They contracted to have us come in. So we didn't have to worry about the electricity, the air conditioning, things like that. That was all covered by Talbots. But when I worked at the diner, the owner of the diner, Biff Goyette, he had a formula of what to charge for these items. Now, I don't know how accurate his formula was, but he had this formula of how much it cost, and he tried to figure out to every item how much it cost him to have the lights turned on to cook it, how much it cost for the gas to cook it. And I think he was a little bit too extreme in that regard, because as I pointed out to him, I said, well, but what if I'm cooking two things at once? It doesn't use the same amount of gas. And he had his way of breaking it all down. And right off the top, you know, 30% of the price was whatever the food cost to put out. And then, you know, you had to put in a couple of cents for all this. And he had his way of doing things. I mean, we had, you know, our bills that we had to pay all the time, the White Brothers Dairy, the egg delivery, and the Deacus vegetables. Like, he had it all broken down. We actually used to, back before we went computerized with everything, he had an envelope system where there was a stack of like 15, 20 different envelopes that every day you had to take cash out of the register and put into this envelope and mark down that you'd put it in for that day. And that's how he made sure that those bills got paid, rather than just putting all the money into the bank and then just paying the bill when it came out. Like, he gathered each thing individually. That was his bookkeeping method. And then we got a computer and he got QuickBooks and learned how to use that. And that made things a little bit easier from that regard. But he had everything figured out to the penny, at least in his mind. Whether or not it was accurate is a different story, but in his mind, he did. And we raised prices, you know, a bunch of times in the 17 years that I worked there, but we tried to avoid doing it. We tried to avoid doing it as long as we could, because we knew the backlash from the customers. And it was ridiculous. Like, you could raise something a quarter and people would lose their minds. I'll never forget when coffee hit a dollar for a bottomless cup of coffee, and it was the end of the world, not only for the servers, but for the waitresses, because before that, it was 75 cents, and they got the quarter tip. And like, well, now that it's a dollar, they're just going to leave a dollar. Of course, that wasn't true. It actually worked out better for them, because what they started doing is they started leaving $2. So instead of getting a quarter, you were getting a dollar. But anyway, that's the way that he figured it out. Restaurants today, I think, are trying to be super transparent with the customer as to why their prices are what they are, because they've gotten accused of jacking up the prices. They've gotten accused because if you go out to eat, what used to cost you $10 is costing you $20 now. Like, go have lunch at the 99. I'm just picking on them because they're next door to me. But go have a sandwich or a salad and a drink and a tip and see if you walk out of there for less than $25. You're not going to. When, you know, back in the day, $25 was your lunch for the week. But now, you know, prices have changed and restaurants are trying to do what they can to make it more transparent for people. But some restaurants, I think, are doing things a little bit differently now. They're trying, in order to retain good help, they're trying to give them competitive salaries. So, you know, they're going to, the way that it's supposed to work, and it quite often doesn't, but the way that it's supposed to work is servers get paid, I don't even know what their hourly wage is now, but it's less than minimum wage. And then they make tips. If they don't average out with tips to what the minimum wage would have been, like let's just say, you know, you go and you work a 6-hour shift at a restaurant and not a single person comes in. So you didn't make a single tip. So then whatever the minimum wage is, your employer has to make up the difference. That's the way that it's supposed to work. And very rarely does it work that way because, you know, more often than not, servers make over minimum wage. So that's why I'm against no tax on tips. I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of, because you're giving a bunch of people who are out there earning money tax-free income. And no offense, but what job are they doing differently than the cooks, where the cooks have to pay income tax on every dollar that they make, but the servers don't? It's a really dumb thing that's just pandering to people that really makes absolutely no sense and is unfair. If you can't call into the station and say that you don't want people who aren't paying their fair share to get any kind of government assistance or government benefit or what have you, if you're also for no tax on tips. Because that is literally income that they are making that they are not paying taxes on. Same as if I went and mowed your lawn or painted your house and you paid me cash and I said, okay, now I don't have to pay income tax on this. But I do. Like I joked the other day, if this passes, I'm just going to go and tell my bosses I want to renegotiate my contract. You can pay me, you know, X amount of money and a paycheck, and the rest of it I want to be considered a tip, so I don't have to pay tax on it. A tip for a good job done. Anyway, one of the things that they're starting to do is they're putting in these admin fees, a couple of bucks on every order. And the idea on that, or on every bill, and the idea on that is so that they can offer these competitive wages. So instead of paying them whatever the minimum wage is for a person that makes tips, I don't even know what it is anymore, but instead of paying them that dollar figure, they can pay them a little bit more, or they can give them health insurance. And they take that money and they divide it amongst all the employees, not just the servers. You know, the different restaurants utilize it in a different fashion. And when these started showing up on people's bills, they lost their minds. Why am I paying? If I wanted to give that money, like, you should be paying that out of your end. And that's fair. I think that's a fair stance to have. That should be coming out. If the restaurant wants to do that, that should be coming out of what the restaurant wants to charge. But the reason why they're putting this on the... Yeah, Charlie, you can send me all the emails you want. I don't care that it's only the first $25,000. It's still letting them have income without paying taxes on it. This guy sends emails all the time to berate me. Just call in, Charlie. All right? First of all, like, learn how to use App Chat. You're sending an email, not an App Chat message. Anyway. So a lot of people say, I'd rather you just pay this out of your own end. I don't need to know. Other people like it because they say, I appreciate the fact that you're doing this, and this makes me want to come back here. And I think that's why a lot of restaurants want to put it out there, is because they want to say, look at what we're doing. And the customers see that and they say, well, I'm going to support this business because I like what they're doing. But they also get to say, and this is why our prices are what they are, because if we added that into the price, your price would be more that you're paying. So it's a little bit of a, I guess, pat on the back to themselves in a way to say, like, look what we're doing, but look how we're also trying to let you know about it so that we don't have to raise the price of your meal. And I think if people look at it on the surface, they'd be okay with it. But it's because, and what the bigger problem was, is a lot of places weren't being forthcoming about it. You know, they might have had signage up, or they might have something on the menu, but people felt like that still wasn't enough, and then they just get upset at the end of the meal because it's on there. Meanwhile, if the server had come over and said to them, hey, just so you know, there's going to be a fee tacked onto the end of your bill, and this is what it goes for, I don't think people would get up and walk out. I think they'd be like, oh, okay, that's a nice thing. I get it. But it's the fact that they didn't pay attention to it being on the menu. It's kind of like, you know, when they order something and they get upset because you charge them for it. And then you're like, but it says right on the menu there that substitutions may be an extra charge. Yeah, but I didn't know asking for, you know, a side of shrimp instead of mashed potatoes was going to be an upcharge. So it's you could be a little bit more forthcoming about it. You could put it more in their face, I guess, because you've got to assume that people aren't going to read the quote unquote fine print on the menus. So, but that's where people were getting upset about that. But that's when the caller called in. That's the first I've heard of the electricity and all that other stuff being on the customer's bill. Like the cost of doing business. That's just something that I would assume is baked into the price. Even if that's how your bookkeeping works, like you need to do it that way. That shouldn't be, you know, public facing. But that's just the way I feel about it. Maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I think that what you've got going on in the restaurant industry is a lot of places still struggling to stay afloat. But I don't know that, you know, putting that on the customer's bill is going to make them feel any. I think it makes people be a little bit more put off than supportive. Because it feels almost like you're trying to make your problem their problem. When they're more than happy to pay whatever the price is for something when they go out to eat. And if they're not, they won't pay for it. If they walk in and the menu item that they wanted was too expensive. How many people in that situation actually get up and walk out of the restaurant? I think that's a small percentage. I think many of the people just order something different. Like, there's been times that I've walked into a restaurant and said, oh, man, I really feel like this tonight. And then I look at the menu and I see, that's a little bit more than I wanted to pay. You know what? I'll just get this instead. You know, how many times have you gone out and you said, I'm going to get steak or steak tips or something like that? And then you said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to get a sandwich. Especially if you're with someone else and, you know, you let that person just order what they want, but you're on a budget. I mean, you also don't want to be that person that's like, you order what you want and then it's time for you, you know, and then when it's time for you to order, you're like, I'll just have a glass of water. Like, that's pretty obvious too. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the newsroom now. When we come back on the other side of that, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files. And then after that, we will speak with Wendy Garf-Lipp of the United Neighbors of Fall River, part of our South Coast Health Community Spotlight series of discussions. But right now, let's turn things over to Mike Roberts in the newsroom.
RFK Jr. making cuts at the CDC. Teens up late may act more impulsively, and record spending predicted for Father's Day.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. removing all 17 members of a panel that advises the CDC on vaccines.
In an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal Monday, Kennedy wrote, "A clean sweep is needed to reestablish public confidence in vaccine science." Kennedy was a vaccine skeptic prior to becoming the Health and Human Services Secretary. He since softened his stance, saying if a parent desires their child to be vaccinated, their decision should be based on informed consent through a doctor. I'm Brian Shook.
More children are dying as some states have allowed looser firearms laws, according to a new study published in JAMA Pediatrics. Researchers estimate more than 6,000 deaths happened in states with the most permissive gun laws, while another 1,400 occurred in states that made up their laws more permissive but were not in the most extreme group. The study also found California, New York, Maryland, and Rhode Island, all of which had strict laws, saw significant drops in pediatric gun deaths. A teen fired a gun found in a Georgia Wendy's that was accidentally left by a visiting Texas sheriff.
An unsecured gun left behind by Grayson County, Texas Sheriff Tony Benny in a Wendy's bathroom in Covington, Georgia, was found and accidentally discharged by a 15-year-old. The sheriff had removed his holstered firearm while in the restroom with his grandson and forgot to retrieve it before leaving. Newton County's DA office decided that no criminal intent or criminal negligence took place. Neither Benny nor the unrelated 15-year-old will face any charges. I'm Thomas Cage.
Researchers out of UCLA have invented a pen that can detect Parkinson's disease with high accuracy. Pilot study in the journal Nature Chemical Engineering unveiled the device that looks close to normal pen. The pen is able to pick up on small dysfunctions by observing how people write before it can be noticed visually. Researchers say it's 96% accurate and available at a low cost. Funk rock pioneer Sly Stone has died at the age of 82. His family says Stone passed away peacefully, surrounded by his children after a long battle with COPD. Stone fronted the group Sly and the Family Stone, who had hits like Family Affair and Everyday People. The statement said while they mourn his absence, they take solace knowing his musical legacy will continue to inspire generations to come. A new study suggests teen night owls may be more impulsively self-destructive. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Researchers used data from 210 teenagers who completed questionnaires to measure their impulsivity and sleep patterns. The teens also provided saliva samples and wore a sleep tracking device. The study found that teens who liked to stay up late were more likely to act impulsively when experiencing negative emotions. Researchers say parents may be able to help their teens by encouraging normal sleep hours. I'm Mark Mayfield.
People are expected to spend $24 billion this year for Father's Day. That would be a record amount, according to the National Retail Federation, up more than 7% from last year. Three out of every four people surveyed say they plan to celebrate the event in some way this year. It's on June 15th, Sunday, average spending just under $200.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Rays at Fenway last night in 11 innings, 10-8. Both teams back at it tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Patchy fog around, temperatures in the mid and upper 50s, not too far from average, but we're below average this afternoon, with temperatures largely around 70 degrees, if not a little bit cooler, in the mid 60s for the coast. Now, the bigger issue is that as we head through the late morning and early afternoon, not only will we see a couple of showers, but some areas of heavy rain and even a thunderstorm or two. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBS.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. So yesterday we had the debut of our new segment here on the program, the Gen X Files, and I got multiple messages from people that said, loved it, but too short. Well, the idea is I want to just keep it to, like, you know, 2 minutes or less, but it is also going to be an evolving segment. So things can change. Things can get different with it, but I'm glad that people were responding well to it because I think it's fun. I think it's fun, and hopefully today's will be just as fun for you. Hopefully you'll feel the same way, because let's get into it.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. Taking a look at celebrity birthdays, actress Elizabeth Hurley turns 60 today. Canton, Massachusetts-born comedian Bill Burr is 57, and retired actress Lillian Rudabet Gloria Elzaveta Sobieski, better known as Lily Sobieski, turns 42. Boris Sendak, best known for his 1963 classic book Where the Wild Things Are, was born on this date in 1928. He's credited with revolutionizing children's picture books. He passed away in 2012. In 1977, Apple Computer shipped its first Apple II computers. It would become America's leading home computer until the rise of Microsoft in the early 1990s. The last episode of the sitcom Taxi aired on this date in 1982. It originally aired for four seasons on ABC before ABC canceled the show, despite the fact that it had won 15 Emmys. It moved to NBC the following fall, airing for one season and winning three more Emmys. In 1989, Tales from the Crypt debuted on HBO. If you remember, the Crypt Keeper introducing those stories with some of the biggest stars of the day in that horror anthology series. In 1991, it was the final episode of David Lynch's Twin Peaks television series. It aired on ABC. In 1996, the variety talk show The Rosie O'Donnell Show, hosted by Rosie O'Donnell, premiered. In 2003, Stephen Schwartz's musical Wicked, starring Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth, officially opened at the Current Theater in San Francisco, California. It moved to Broadway later on that year. In 2007, the Sopranos series finale aired on HBO. The infamous cut-to-black ending is still talked about and debated by many fans to this day. and it ruined Journey's Don't Stop Believing for many. That's the Gen X Files for June 10th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Back Porch Sampler, where this week's flavors include coffee, Oreo, grape nut, quad chocolate, and all your other favorites. And happy birthday, by the way, to Sharon McGraw. All right, why don't we take a break here? When we come back, we will talk with Wendy Garflip of United Neighbors of Fairhaven as part of our South Coast Health Community Spotlight series of conversations. We will be right back.
Listen to the fear that's gone. Strangled by the...
And welcome back in. Hey, just to let you know, this Saturday, it's going to be a fun day at Greater New Bedford Voc Tech. Because we're going to have Sierra, you know her from Money Matters with Jose Matos. She's going to be there representing WBSM and Fun 107 as Greater New Bedford Voc Tech is hosting a free touch-a-truck event. It's happening from 9 to 11 a.m. Your chance to get up close to emergency vehicles from New Bedford Fire, EMS, and police, as well as construction trucks and equipment. The New Bedford Mobile Library will also be on site, plus enjoy free ice cream for the whole family. And while Sierra is over there hanging out, you've got the chance to score a family four-pack of tickets to see Kids Bop in July. The Touch-A-Truck event is happening this Saturday at Greater New Bedford Voc Tech from 9 to 11, thanks to United Way of Greater New Bedford. So hope to see you over there at Voc Tech this Saturday, the 14th, from 9 to 11. All right, it is time now for our South Coast Health Community Spotlight. Joined now by Wendy Garflip, the Executive Director of United Neighbors of Fall River. Good morning, Wendy. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
And if you don't mind me mentioning, you know, we were just kind of talking off air that, you know, you're part of the WBSM family.
Yes, I am. My father-in-law, Stan Lipp, was on the radio for many, many years. We spent much time with him at WBSM, and it really feels like coming home.
And really, you know, he did so much for the community that I think it's a natural thing for other members of the family to want to do the same.
So I don't know if you remember that he used to do something called Quarters for Christmas, where they laid out a double-faced tape from one end of the mall to the other, and people came and put quarters down, and then they would use that money to help the Schwartz Center or elderly people. The first time I met Stan as his future, the girlfriend of his son, I came to the house, and that's what we did. We pulled quarters off of masking tape. And it was an amazing introduction to my future father-in-law of how involved and connected he was in supporting the community. And I felt like I had come home to that family.
And now you are carrying that forward. So tell us about United Neighbors of Fall River.
So United Neighbors is an amazing organization that exists to support and inform people about the resources and the programs that are available for them to be able to live a healthy and meaningful life. Some of the things that we like to highlight, first off, is our resource guide. You can find our resource guide on www.unfr.org, unfr.org, or just go United Neighbors and the website will come up. The resource guide, which is available online in about 10 or 12 different languages and in print in four different languages, is a comprehensive document of all the resources that are available in Greater Fall River. Need some extra food? All the food pantries are listed. Not only are they listed, but when they are open, what kind of identification, if any, you might need, how you can get in contact. The soup kitchens are listed. We also have all information about child counseling. Do you need summer camps? Do you want to know what's going on in terms of finding gently used furniture? Or do you need gently used clothing? All that is in the resource guide. We even have a whole section on the parks in Fall River, identifying which ones have splash pads, which ones have ball fields, so that you know what you're doing in Fall River. Now, all that is available in print, but it's also available online on our website. And in addition, on our website, we have posted 40 videos connected to different information. For example, if you look in the resource guide, it says grandparents raising grandchildren, and there's a telephone number. That's basic information. You don't know anything more than that. But if you click on the website, you on the video, you have a 30 to 60 second little commercial saying, grandparents raising grandchildren, this is how you join. These are the responsibilities. These are the obligations. This is the person to call. This is how we get you involved in it. So it helps navigating resources really, really, really easily. One of the things that I found in the 16 years I've been at United Neighbors is that people are sometimes reluctant to look for resources. And part of that is you call an agency and someone picks up and you say, hi, this is, well, first you call the agency and the first thing you hear is, what language would you like? And you have to press that button. And then you press that button and you hear, if you know your party's extension, well, you don't know your party's extension right. because you don't know what you're calling about. So you sit through that and then they say, okay, press O for operator. So now you get the operator. You tell the operator your story and she connects you to Tom. And now Tom answers the phone. The operator hasn't told Tom your story. So now you're telling Tom your story again. And very often these are powerful and upsetting stories for many of our clients. And Tom says, well, I'm not the right person. Let me send you to Maria. So now all you have to do is open the resource guide and you need heat assistance, citizens for citizens, heat assistance. Here's the telephone number. And you know directly who you're calling without going through that entire rigmarole. So it does make life so much easier for people. For people who cannot access it online, we hand them out from our office. They're printed in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Haitian Creole, so you can come by at any time, and we're happy to give you resource guides.
And I love that. I love the fact that it maps it all out but makes it simple and accessible. But you brought up a very important point that people are sometimes reluctant to seek help, and sometimes it's because of that confusing nature of actually finding the help, and sometimes it's just because they worry about how it'll be perceived for the rest of the neighbors. But this being United Neighbors, this being other neighbors who have put all this together for you and standing by you, it shows that, you know, you're part of the community and we want to take care of you. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed or apprehensive about whatever situation you're in.
Everybody needs help. And it's amazing to me that people feel very uncomfortable about that ask. The whole purpose of United Neighbors is to make sure that people can be strong and secure. And that means helping them find the resources so that they can move forward. If I can alleviate some pressure you have monetarily by turning you on to a food pantry where you can get a couple of days worth of groceries and you can then divert that money to help pay for your rent increase, it's a win-win across the board. And that's all this is. It isn't a pie. It isn't that if I get a big piece, you get a small piece. Mm. That's not how resources work. They're available for everybody. Now, I will tell you this. Very often people will say to me, Wendy, don't people cheat you at United Neighbors? Aren't there people coming in for resources that don't deserve them or don't need them? And quite honestly, I have what I call my 10% rule. Maybe 10% of the people we deal with are sleazy. Maybe. But you know what? 10% of my friends are sleazy, 10% of my family is sleazy, and 10% of my coworkers are sleazy. So I think a 90% is a good number, and that's what we're sticking to.
And not only that, you know, you are just trying to connect them and be the resource. These individual organizations can be the ones to actually vet them.
Absolutely. And United Neighbors, we have a couple of programs where we give things to people that are in need. We have an emergency food cupboard. You can find it on our website, www.unfr.org. Look for the food cupboard, and you can sign up right on our website. We are not a food pantry. You don't get fresh fruits and vegetables. You don't get meat or cheese. Those are all the things you'll get in a food pantry, which you can find in our resource guide. But you can get at our office a couple of days of non-perishable food to hold you over until you can get to the food pantry. We also have hygiene products, deodorant, shampoo, soap, toothbrushes, and cleaning products, detergent, Windex, Saran wrap, things like that as well. You have to come by appointment. So if you go to the website, you'll see click here to make an appointment and a calendar will come up and you choose the time that best works for you based on when we're open. We also have the Home Project. The Home Project is our free store. We have free space that is given to us by Merrow Manufacturing. Thank you, Owen and Charlie Merrow, for making this possible. And it is our free store for kitchen, bedroom, bathroom, non-furniture items. Pots and pans, dishes, linens, decor, small appliances, lamps, rugs, anything that you could possibly need to help you get your home set. We accept donations from the community. And in the same way that you sign up for our food pantry, you can sign up for the Home Project to either bring donations or to come and shop. We ask that, the only thing we ask from both our product, our programs is your first name and how many people will benefit. We don't care who you are, where you're from, what your status is. Everyone is welcome. We do ask everyone to give us a smile. That is part of the requirement. And if you come to the Home Project after making an appointment, we suggest you bring your own bags and boxes. One man gathers what another man spills.
Absolutely. Now, so I'm assuming there's some legwork involved with United Neighbors of being the ones to kind of cull together all these resources and put them together. But if there's someone out there that's starting up an organization and they want to get listed with you, can they reach out to you?
Absolutely.
And become part of it?
You can go on our website and there's a link to a form that you can fill out to be included in the resource guide. We suggest that before you fill that form out, you go through the resource guide because often an organization will be in two different places. For example, you might be under Children's Services and you might be under Elderly Services. So we want to make sure that you're in every possible place. In addition, if you're interested in making an accompanying video to post with online with the resource guide, you can reach out to info@unfr.org.
And if they want to do that, you'll come out and make the video.
No, they come to the United Neighbors office. We make it right in the United Neighbors office. We have a little monitor so you don't have to memorize anything. And usually we can do it in one or two takes. And then it gets posted up on two places, on our website. But you can also see all the videos on United Neighbors YouTube station. And we post a lot of videos there. So you can find our resource videos there as well.
That's great because that might be intimidating for some folks that aren't used to the technology. And they say, you know, I'd love to have that feature, but we don't have anybody in-house that can do it.
Correct.
This takes care of it for you.
Correct. And once you make it, we can give you that video to put on your website as well.
Oh, so there you go. You're not just a valuable resource for all the community members, but also for the organizations themselves.
That's part of what United Neighbors does. We have been hosting a community meeting in partnership with other organizations called Let's Talk Tuesday. We all went into quarantine on a Thursday. Our first Let's Talk Tuesday meeting was that Tuesday. We had 90 organizations represented.
Wow.
We met for a year and a half every single week with between 80 and 90 organizations. And together we were able to navigate the pandemic with support. We were able to feed 350 triaged families with prepared food by connecting to business and restaurants and volunteers to deliver. And that meeting still happens. It's now only once a month. We still get about 40 or so organizations to come and work with us. And is the place that we bring everybody in the community together so that we can work collaboratively on problems. No one person, no one organization can make a change. Only when we work together can we repair our little corner of the world.
Absolutely. Well, one more time, Wendy, give us all the contact info for people that want to find out more.
Sure. www.unfr.org, or you can call the office at 508-324-7900.
And Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. And it's a lot less sticky dealing with all of this than peeling quarters off of the tape.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. But it is still the same umbrella of we have a responsibility to take care of our communities. I learned that from Stan, and I hope I'm carrying that forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Duck it.